We had a good crowd this morning. We have a good crowd tonight. It's just we don't have as many of us. But it's a good bunch of folks, isn't it? Proud of all y'all being here. I hope that the lesson will be worthy of your attention. We're going to be going to 1 Timothy chapter 6 this evening as our text. I told you this morning that we're going to talk about running, chasing, and fighting tonight. And we find this in this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6. While we were sitting there, and I hope that everything will hold off, but I felt a wave of nausea hit me just as we were sitting there just now, and it's progressing. So I'm going to go kind of quickly this evening, and we'll just hope everything will be fine. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Now he starts off by saying something in this verse, 11, that obviously is not found in this particular reading tonight. "You, O man of God, flee these things." What things? Well, the things he has spoken of earlier in this chapter, specifically found in verses 3 through 5 beginning. We're to run away from some things. There's some things that you just need to run from. You know, one thing I've noticed about a little dog, little dogs think they're big dogs, don't they? Now, Kathy back there has got a little dog. I told Rodney the other night, it's in the rodent family. But this little dog thinks it's a bear. And it will come after you. Dolly is her name. She's a sweetie, but she will come after you if you turn your back. But if you face up to her, buddy, she's in Kathy's lap, snuggling and trying to hide. Dolly's got good sense. She can run a bluff, but she knows when it's time to run. Because let's face it, if you're out in the woods walking along and you come across a mama bear with two cubs, what had you better do? You better get out of Dodge. You better go as fast as you can in the opposite direction, because you are in a world of hurt. You're not going to win that battle. There's times when you have to run away. And Paul mentions some things that we need to run from. There's some things we're strong enough to stand and fight, but there's some things Paul says we need to run from these things. We need to make sure we're as far from these as we can be. "If anyone," starting in verse 3, 1 Timothy 6, "if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness," in other words, matches up with what God has said. If somebody teaches something different and doesn't hold fast to what God has actually said, "this person," verse 4, "he is proud, knowing nothing, but obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which comes envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves." That's what he's saying. Run. Run. Run away. Don't try to stand and fight that. Don't let these become part of you. Don't let these qualities take over you. Don't let them be seen in you. Get as far away from these things as you possibly can. Pride. Pride, well, it leads to falling down, doesn't it? Pride is right before destruction. Pride comes before a fall, doesn't it? It precedes a big problem. When people are overly proud, they act foolishly. And if we're too proud, then what will follow is envy. If we're too proud, we will end up envying others who we think shouldn't deserve as much as we do. And envy, of course, is a feeling of displeasure at someone else's success. If they've gained some advantage or prosperity more so than you have, or more so than you think they should, it's a natural, it's a response of a weak, proud mind to be envious of that person, desiring to deprive another person of what he has, envying him. James 4, 6 through 10 is an excellent passage to read about this matter of pride and what it leads to. And envy is the first one. Proverbs 14, verse 30 says that envy is the rottenness of the bones. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. And then that will lead to strife. Strife is simply a contention where you insist on your own way. Oh my, listen. Where we insist on our own way. We force our own opinion about things. We have an attitude of superiority. And we're not hesitant to tell others about how we see things, the way things ought to be. We who teach others must be very, very careful to run away from causing strife. We must not allow this characteristic to become part of us. Revilings. This one hits Robert Hall right square in the face. As I was preparing this week for this lesson, I saw myself in this one. And I'm not proud of this, and I'm very ashamed of myself. I am guilty of reviling. To revile is simply to speak evil of, to scoff at, to mock, to ridicule. And it's not a matter of correction. It's not a matter of confrontation. It's not a matter of helping someone see where they're wrong. It's a matter of simply putting someone down. And I'm guilty. I am guilty. And I repent of that. And I'm going to do everything in my power not to be guilty of this one anymore. I'm running from it. And then another one is evil suspicion in the New King James. Evil surmisings in the King James. This is to suppose or conjecture evil things. We have a principle that we're supposed to live by as children of God. And that is, give the other fellow the benefit of the doubt. Isn't that a rule that we're supposed to live by? I mean, I know that that passage, there's not a passage in Scripture that says that. But don't the Scriptures teach that same principle though? Give the other fellow the benefit of the doubt. Instead of thinking evil of someone, we should think good of someone. What are they trying to hide? That's an accusation that's been made here. What are they trying to hide? Is this person up to no good or not? What, this looks suspicious. This looks funny. Listen, we need to practice giving the other fellow the benefit of the doubt. We really need to do that. That's a good thing. That's a quality thing. That's a Christian thing to do. Instead of evil suspicions, we need to give the other fellow the benefit of the doubt. And then, of course, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. This is verse... let's see. I had it and I've lost it. Verse disputings. Okay, all right. This, I've got it in King James and New King James both. All right. The perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Perverse disputings in some translations says evil or useless wranglings. Other translations say simply contention. It is simply a continuing argument of men of corrupt minds who are empty of truth, destitute of the truth, and these are people that are worldly minded. They suppose that gain is godliness. And the truth is found in verses 6 through 8. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. So this is the truth on the matter. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But some have the attitude of loving money. And this goes on to point out the last thing that we should run from, and that is the love of money. We should run away from it. But those who desire to be rich fall into the temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money. Money is not evil. Money is neither good or evil. A gun is neither good or evil. A bullet is neither good or evil. A magazine, if it's a good magazine, is neither good or evil. The television is neither good or evil. It's what comes on there. It's how it's used. It's whether or not it's good or evil. You know, you could use a brick for good, or you could use a brick for evil. You could take a brick and build a beautiful building with it, or you could take a brick and smash a storefront and loot when the power goes out. A brick is neither good or evil, but it can be used for that. And money is the same as a brick. Money can be used for good, and money can be used for evil. But the love of money is inherently evil, and it causes all manner of evil to follow. And so this is something to run from. You need to run from the love of money. So Paul tells Timothy, you need to flee from these things. And then he says, there's some things you need to follow after. You need to pursue. You need to chase. You need to chase these down and lay hold on them and don't let go. Notice, if you would, follow after righteousness. 1 Peter 2, verse 12, the eye of the Lord, the Lord's eyes are upon the righteous. Some of the traits of righteousness, holy and without blame, Ephesians 1. Kind and tender-hearted, Ephesians 4. Patient and long-suffering, Colossians 1. Prayerful, 1 Timothy 2 and Revelation 5. Grounded in love, Ephesians 3, verse 17. Abhorring that which is evil and any kind of wickedness, Psalm 101, verse 3 and 4. Righteousness, the traits of righteousness are God-like traits. We need to live righteous lives where we stay away from sin and follow after that which is like God. Anything that will help me to become more like God is a good thing. That's something I need to follow. I need to pursue that. Of course, godliness is the next one, meaning God-like. God has told us, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God has put His name on us. We wear the name of God. We are His people. We are sanctified people set apart for His use. And so we must live our lives in a godly manner. We must pursue faith. Pursue faith. Is your faith strong? Is it strong enough to withstand the test that will come? Has it stood against the test in the past? Is your faith as strong as it ought to be? Pursue faith. Pursue more faith. That means more study and more application of God's Word, more faithful obedience to God. And the more you obey, the more you study and learn and understand, and the more you obey, the more your faith will grow. Seek more faith. Pursue it through study, through prayer, through obedience. Seek love. Pursue it. Chase it. Seeking the best for others. That kind of love, that kind of relationship with your brethren, and even with your enemies, where you're seeking what is best for them, is an admirable trait. Patience. You pray for patience. You say amen. You look up. Many times God has given you a mountain to climb. Climb it. Climb it. Pursue patience. For patience is one of the qualities of Jesus Christ. And meekness. This is where we accept God's will for us without arguing, without disputing. We accept God's will for us and we yield our will to His. That's what meekness is all about. He's saying follow after these things. And finally, it's time to fight. It's time to fight. Now, I remember years ago listening to Howard Cosell. That's my best impression. calling the Thrilla in Manila on the radio. Now, some of y'all may remember that. Some of you youngsters do not. But it wasn't on TV. But Muhammad Ali against Joe Frazier, the Thrilla in Manila. That's how they titled it. And it was some fight, I'm here to tell you. And Cosell was, he was calling the plays blow by, or the rounds blow by blow, jab by jab, punch by punch, roundhouse, haymaker. He called them all. And he was so excited. Frazier's down. Frazier's down. And oh, Muhammad Ali standing over him. Float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. Your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see. And it was just on and on. And we were just thrilled by this. We were enjoying this so much. It was a great fight. People sometimes like to watch a good fight. We need to be involved in a good fight. We have a fight on our hands, brethren. And it's not with each other. We fight not against principalities and powers. We fight not against flesh and blood. We do not war according to the flesh, as 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Our warfare is many times with ourselves. My warfare is internal. I am fighting the good fight of faith to bring my mind, my thoughts, my body into captivity for the cause of Christ. To become more like Jesus wants me to be. To be a better man, a better child of God, a better preacher, a better elder, a better brother, a better father, a better husband, a better uncle, a better friend. And to do this, I have to bring into captivity anything that would distract or interfere with that life, with that growth. In Ephesians 6, 4 through 10 through 14, it's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Putting on the whole armor of God, so that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. And it talks about the armor itself. And then it says, having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore. Once you've made the preparation, then get at it. Stand. Don't fall. Don't give in. Don't back up. Stand your ground. Don't give in to Satan's temptations. Don't allow somebody else who's having a bad day to cause you to act like the devil wants you to act. But you stand your ground as a child of God and you hold firm to the convictions that you have. Jesus is my Lord and I will do what He says. I will not give in to temptation, to sin. John the Baptizer openly opposed Herod for having his brother Philip's wife. And it cost him his life. He didn't back down. He stood his ground. He said what he was supposed to say. And he paid the highest price. He did lose his life, but he won the war. And you and I need to understand something. God expects no less from us. He expects us to stand our ground on what's right. And not give in to temptation to sin ourselves. And to call for others to do the same thing. To be an encouragement, to be a teacher and instructor of righteousness, but also to be a good soldier in the faith. To fight the good fight, to war a good warfare, to hang on to that which is good, to lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. And fight the good fight of faith. Well, how long are we supposed to do this? How long are we supposed to do it? Well, in verse 14 of 1 Timothy 6, it says, "Keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing." We keep this up until the end. We don't quit early. We don't retire. We don't knock off at 9 o'clock. We keep on keeping on until the end, until the day of our death, or the day of the Lord's return, whichever comes first. So there are some things that we need to run from. There are some things we need to follow after and pursue and lay hold on. And there are some things we need to fight about. I'm not talking about with each other. I'm talking about with ourselves. We need to live the life of children of God and be the people that God wants us to be. God knows what is best for us. Let us do what He says. Live the way He tells us to live. Flee. Follow. Fight. Run away. Chase. And do battle. And God will bless you. If you are not a Christian, you need to obey the Lord today before it's too late. And if you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful to Him, this is your opportunity to make things right with God. We want to encourage you, if you need to come to the Lord tonight, do so without delay. As together we stand and sing.
You and me, let us haste, haste to its breeze.